Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. And I'm sure you've heard of the Mothman. But have you seen the flying Mothwoman? Well, what would it mean if you saw her? I'm going to explain about that in this podcast, and also why that especially right now you should learn about and beware of what is known as dark money. A lot of stuff to get into here, but before I do that, I want to say thank you to all of you who are new listeners to the show, and that's because, you know, I haven't left a show in about a week, which is uncommon for me. I try to do these as often as possible, but the problem is that most of the time when I'm not leaving a podcast, it's because I am being interviewed on somebody else's show. And so last week I went on Coast to Coast AM, and I was able to mention this podcast. And so I have a lot of new listeners from Coast to Coast AM who didn't realize I had a podcast. So welcome. Welcome to the community, to the family of independent, uncensored weirdness. I have to warn you up front, this is not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. You never know exactly where I'm going to go or what the language is going to be like. Some of the other interviews that I gave last week have not yet been posted. For example, I told you that I was interviewed by Justin Perry, who has the largest self-transformation YouTube channel. It's called You Are Creators. That is going to be posted soon as a webcast. So anyway, I've been staying very busy, and so we have a lot to catch up on. For one thing, the next 3 months here in the United States especially, I believe, are going to be paranormally insane. Okay, a lot of extremely strange, otherwise inexplicable things. You know, we're living in a world where normal and paranormal are coming more and more, you know, becoming more and more blurred every single day. But that said, I think all the tension and anxiety in the air here as we get closer to the big election in November is going to trigger a lot more attention, perhaps, of extraterrestrials and interdimensionals. As a matter of fact, UFOs have returned to Las Vegas, so to speak. And I'm referring here to a post that was made on YouTube just days ago by my friend Steve Barone, who lives here in Las Vegas, where I am. And of course, Steve has been on this podcast. I talk about him a lot. Steve has the house on the cliff overlooking the Las Vegas Valley, and he goes out there on a regular basis. And for years has been recording all of these amazing UFOs flying around this entire region. And there was a bit of a lull, and now all of a sudden, boom, everything has exploded again. And if you haven't seen some of his new footage showing these strange formations of lights traveling around, zipping around, dipping and sort of blinking in and out and doing all these things that satellites and airplanes and helicopters and drones and all this kind of stuff just don't do, just go look at the video. You can find it if you go to my Twitter page. That's at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren, and then you can see why he is saying, look, they're back. They're back. And as a matter of fact, just last night, Lauren stepped out on the balcony here at our place in Vegas, and I hear her say, Josh, UFOs! And so I ran outside, and yes, I grabbed a camera, and sure enough, there are these strange lights just moving around on these odd formations in the distance. And so I would post it, but honestly, what I have is not even as good quality as what Steve is getting, so you may as well just go look at his stuff. But it makes you wonder, doesn't it, about these connections between things, connections between humans and politics and our lives and the interest that other beings may have in that, and what it says about these larger sort of cosmic cycles that we all move through. I'm getting a lot of emails, and you know I get tons of messages every day. I do my best to read all of them. I certainly cannot respond to all of them, but I've been getting a lot of messages from people telling me about amazing synchronicities. And I just got one a few minutes ago from a regular listener of this podcast. He lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he was explaining to me, he has an unusual last name. I'm not going to give it out here without his explicit permission, but he has an unusual last name. And he said that like three houses down, he sees all of these campaign posters that has his name, his last name. And it turns out that, you know, apparently some guy with his last name is running for office of some sort there in the area. It, no relation, no connection whatsoever. But he said, you know, this is a big, big city. What are the chances that this guy who has no connection to me, you know, would have his campaign yard set up three houses down? And I have found that if you follow these odd little synchronicities that pop up in your life, it tells you something about the invisible world, you know, the invisible undercurrent. I mean, here is one of my favorite personal synchronicity stories. And I probably told you this before, and it's a little bit tricky to tell it, so I'll do this as clearly as possible. So, of course, my wife is named Lauren. So she's Lauren Warren. So just for that, she takes enough affectionate flack just because that she has a name that sounds like a Dr. Seuss character or an anchor in a DC comic, right? Lauren Warren, of all the people she could have married, a guy with a rhyming last name. But anyway, I was living in North Carolina. That's where I grew up. And she was living in Texas, where she grew up. And the reason that we met was because her mother moved to North Carolina to date a man named Frank Warren. Now, my grandfather on my father's side was named Frank Warren. Okay, now there's no connection between these two Frank Warrens. So again, I have a grandfather named Frank Warren. And in this whole other scenario, Lauren's mom moves from Texas to North Carolina to date a guy named Frank Warren. Because of that, Lauren moves to North Carolina to be with her mom. And her mom is pretty much planning on marrying this guy, Frank Warren. And her mom insists that Lauren go on a ghost tour with her because her mom's birthday was right around Halloween. So Lauren goes on this ghost tour, and I met her because I was hosting the ghost tour. That's how I met my wife, okay, hosting a ghost tour. So there was a point in time where it looked like that her mom was going to marry a guy named Frank Warren, and then Lauren was going to marry me, a guy who had a grandfather named Frank Warren, and we would all end up being Warrens with these two Frank Warrens. And this is like a genealogist nightmare, trying to figure all that out. And I could say in that sense, fortunately, things didn't work out between her mother and Frank Warren. So that connection was not made. Obviously, our relationship worked out, but I've always thought how bizarro it is. It reminds you of like the name game that people like Lauren Coleman have written about, how that you see certain names that keep popping up in certain situations. For example, the name Reeve or Reeves being associated with often bad luck, as well as, ironically, Superman, you know, the strongest character that we have fictionally created. That's why, like, you know, you had George Reeve, who was famous for playing Superman on TV, and he ended up either being murdered or committing suicide. Nobody's sure to this day. And then, of course, Christopher Reeves. Wait a second. No, it's the other way around. It's Christopher Reeve. Yeah. So George Reeves was the Superman on TV, and then Christopher Reeve became the Superman in the movies. And then he, of course, had a very tragic ending to his life. And that in and itself is odd, but then Lauren Coleman points out that there are all these other instances throughout history of like UFO contactees and abductees and people who see Bigfoot and all that having a name like Reeve or Reeves. So, you know, what is a name? Well, a name is a sound, and a sound is a frequency. A vibration is produced, and it affects the physical world. It's bordering on magical thinking, isn't it? You know, say, you say a word, you say a name. I mentioned this on Coast to Coast AM last week. You know, I was asked about, you know, more about the significance of knowing the name of something in the spiritual world that you're trying to affect or manipulate. Knowing the name of the demon in order to control it. Knowing the name of Rumpelstiltskin in order to control the little elf. This is an important thing, and that's why I believe it, you know, you have to name abstract concepts in order to put a handle on them and use them. So there is a lot of synchronicity happening right now. And in some cases, if you study this kind of thing, you will see connections that are so weird and rare that other people don't notice them. And sometimes you see an appearance of strange reports, sometimes a lot of them are called a flap, just before something major happens, which is often disastrous. Okay, not always. Saying something's good or bad is always relative, you know, because it's like you gotta break a few eggs to make an omelet, right? You know, you gotta look at it as, you know, every time a door closes, another one opens. That sort of thing. And that's why I always think of Mothman in particular as being one of these types of signals, these things we would call harbingers. Okay, a harbinger is something that appears that basically warns you or is some kind of a signal that something major is about to happen, that there's a shift that's about to occur. It's almost like an electrostatic charge building up in the air before a lightning bolt strikes. And you could almost say it's similar to how they have these reports of animals fleeing the forest minutes before there's an earthquake or a tsunami or some kind of a natural disaster. Like the animals are able to sense something that humans and our instruments are not yet able to detect. So harbingers would be one of those things. And of course, we use Mothman as a convenient reference because Mothman, the large black winged bat-like being that was seen flying around Point Pleasant, West Virginia in the 1960s, was making headlines. And then, of course, at the end of the year, the Silver Bridge collapsed, which was the largest bridge disaster in U.S. history. I think 46 people drowned. It was right around Christmas time. And it was just, you know, a horrible, eerie scene. Christmas presents floating in the down the Ohio River where everybody'd been out shopping. And so Mothman is a convenient thing to latch onto as one of these harbingers or one of these signs of a connection between something that's, you know, big about to happen here and in our realm, and then something that's maybe showing up a little better because of that in another dimension, you know, in that temporary limited window that we have. And therefore, that's why, like, when I was in Puerto Rico, I was really curious to find that all these people were seeing this thing they call the gargula flying around. And the gargula was described very much like Mothman. At least 6 feet tall, bipedal, all dark, big sort of bat-like wings. There were some policemen I talked to, I interviewed five policemen who got a better look at the Gargula, and they described it as having a face that looked not as bat-like, but more like a German Shepherd, I think was what they said. So anyway, this was seen primarily around this little area called Guanica. And I started telling everybody, this is not a good sign. You know, like when these things show up and start flying around, often they are harbingers. And then, of course, right after that, and I started warning people, one thing after another started happening in Puerto Rico. And, I mean, they got the hurricanes that came through and destroyed everything, and the electrical system went all to shit. And then there was, you know, an uprising, and they threw the governor out. And, I mean, I have a friend there who told me the other day she was out of power for 111 days just when that happened. And she's out of power tonight as we speak as well, by the way. Just, you know, because who knows, the wind blew a little too hard. They make jokes about it. You know, a bird lands on a branch somewhere and the power goes out. So anyway, then that happened. Then they started having all these earthquakes, and they've been plagued by earthquakes all year. Destructive earthquakes. And most of the earthquakes are centered right around Guanica. I'm not kidding you. Okay, you can go back and listen to me talk about all this. The earthquakes were centered around the area where the Gargula was seen flying around. And now, of course, they've got the COVID-19 stuff on top of it, and it's just been one thing after another in Puerto Rico. So I bring this up because synchronistically, today is August 12th of 2020. And, you know, I'm a very busy guy. And I figured, well, I'm going to sit down and do this podcast. And I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to talk about. And I looked over and I saw one of my favorite books written by my friend Nick Redfern. And it's called 365 Days of UFOs, A Year of Alien Encounters. And you can take this book and you can flip it to any date. And he has done a job. I can't imagine the work he put into this. He found a UFO type incident or something weird like that that happened on every single day of the year. And it could be on any year, but you can look up your birthday. Oh, what happened on my birthday? You know, and see what the story is. So I said, you know, I haven't looked at this book for a while. So I picked it up and I flipped it to August 12th. And he has recorded here an incident from August 12th of 1969. It's called A Flying Woman in Vietnam. A Flying Woman in Vietnam. It says here it's from Da Nang, Vietnam. And I'm just going to read this for you. It's not very long. He wrote, "One of the strangest and undoubtedly creepiest of all encounters with something truly out of this world occurred at the height of the Vietnam War, and specifically in Da Nang, Vietnam. It was in August of 1969 that a man named Earl Morrison, along with several comrades, had the shock of his life. It was very appropriately in the dead of night when the menacing event occurred. And as the men were on guard duty, keeping a careful lookout for the Viet Cong, everything was quiet and normal until around 1:30 a.m. And that's when the atmosphere changed, and an eerie form made its presence known to the shocked men of the U.S. 1st Division Marine Corps. Despite being somewhat reluctant to speak out publicly, Morrison eventually changed his mind and by 1972 was comfortable about discussing the incident, even if he wasn't comfortable with what he encountered. His story makes for incredible reading, and here is the quote from Earl Morrison. We saw what looked like wings, like a bat's, only it was gigantic compared to what a regular bat would be. After it got close enough so we could see what it was, it looked like a woman, a naked woman. She was black. Her skin was black, her body was black, the wings were black, everything was black. But it glowed. It glowed in the night, kind of a greenish cast to it. She started going over us, and we still didn't hear anything. She was right above us, and when she got over the top of our heads, she was maybe 6 or 7 feet up. We watched her go straight over the top of us, and she still didn't make any noise flapping her wings. She blotted out the moon once, and that's how close she was to us. And dark. Looked like pitch black then, but we could still define her because she just glowed, real bright-like. And she started going past us straight toward our encampment. As we watched her, she had got about 10 or so feet away from us, and then we started hearing her wings flap. And it sounded, you know, like regular wings flapping, and she just started flying off, and we watched her for quite a while, end quote. Now, one of those who took a great deal of interest in the story of the flying woman of Da Nang was a UFO researcher named Don Worley. His personal interview with Morrison revealed additional data, such as the fact that the woman's hair was black and straight, that the wings may have had a slight furry quality to them, that she, quote, rippled as she flew by, that she appeared to lack bones in her body, and that her wings seemed to be directly molded to her hands and arms. Wow. What do you think? Does that sound like a moth lady? A moth woman? I think so. But isn't that interesting? That I have, you know, I could have picked this up any day, 365 days, and I picked it up on August 12th. And I've been getting all this stuff about synchronicity coming in, and all this Harbinger stuff has been sent to me, and I read about the Moth Woman. Have you seen something like that? Have you seen anything along those lines that could be a Harbinger? I'd love to know. If you have, of course, you can always go to joshuapwarren.com and contact me. There is no period after the P if you go to joshuapwarren.com. Scroll down there, and you will find my email address. Well, why might there be more stuff happening right now? As I said... Well, in actually less than 3 months, we have got this election coming up here in the United States. And let me tell you, I have a feeling the next 3 months are just going to get rougher and rougher because everybody is ruthlessly trying to win this election. I had to get a little water there. So, I was reading the other day about what various astrologers have said about what's going on right now. There is one site I found called witanddelight.com, and there was a phrase that sort of stuck out here that I thought maybe is important for all of us to hear and to think about. It says, 2020 is not here to punish you. It is here to make you stronger. Now let me repeat that. 2020 is not here to punish you. It is here to make you stronger. I like that because everybody's fighting right now in some way. And we know how it goes. Survival of the fittest. Whoever's the strongest is going to win here. And so this is a time when whatever you believe is really paramount. I mean, And again, I try my best to avoid discussing anything political on this podcast because you get enough of that everywhere else all day long, 24/7, from people who are much better informed than I. But I still, of course, I have my own personal opinions, and I find that my opinions are stronger now than they've ever been because of, well, seeing how different this year is and prioritizing things in a different way. And so one thing that I, here's a tip I am going to give you. Okay, no matter what country you're in, because I know people all over the world listen to this program. Most of the people who listen are here in the USA. I get to see the statistics, of course, because I own the show, and they're real statistics. But people listen all over the world, a lot of people all over the world. And even though you might not be in the USA, I think a lot of what I'm about to tell you in some way will apply to how your government does things as well. Not to mention the fact that whatever happens in the USA obviously makes an impact on the rest of the world. So everybody should kind of listen up here. Regardless of how we view the information that comes to us, and you know, the only real information that we get most of the time is through the media and through the commercials that the media runs. And trust me, the internet now is just a form of media. Okay, the internet is more independent than what you're going to get on TV or the radio. But the most popular sites are being treated just like, or being run just like media companies, where they go in and they're deciding whether or not to run certain ads or promote certain candidates or spin things a certain way. You should know that. But here's something that you may have never heard of. When you think about where the money comes from to support these various candidates and to run ads for them, you know, you have these different things, which I'm not going to get into all this, but like PACs and super PACs, which are basically these organizations that are structured within certain IRS, that's Internal Revenue Service guidelines, that allow collections of money to come from certain individuals or certain groups that can all be put together into a gigantic pile to promote a candidate who has a certain agenda. So in other words, if the law said, okay, everybody gets to contribute $2,000 to a candidate and that's it, you know, everybody is equal, then that'd mean you'd be like, okay, well, I support this person, there's my $2,000, and that's the end of the story. But these PACs and super PACs change that a little bit so that a bunch of people can give all this money to a super PAC, and they can actually bend the rules and give as much money as they want in many cases, and then you build up this huge big fund, and all that can go to support the candidate. So it's kind of a loophole here. And once a loophole's opened, it's really, really hard for anybody to close it. But what I want to bring to your attention is something you may have never heard about, and that's called dark money groups. And let me just be very clear right here. This is the kind of stuff that a regular mainstream show would not usually talk about, because this is the kind of thing that gets people killed. So, I'm not here to advocate for a particular person or a particular party. I'm just telling you, you should know about something that exists. And if you, and then don't take my word for it, you can look this up on your own. So you've got your PACs and your super PACs and all that kind of stuff. And now we have these things, they're called dark money groups. And this is known as a 501c4 social welfare group or a C6 trade association. And basically, these are groups that can accept unlimited contributions from any source. and are not required to publicly disclose their donors. So again, that's a 501c4 and c6. So let me reiterate that, okay? They are sometimes called issue advocacy groups. They can accept unlimited contributions from any source and are not required to publicly disclose their donors. And they get to engage in some candidate election-related activities. Says that in many cases, these groups may not contribute directly to a candidate, but they may contribute unlimited amounts to a super PAC supporting a candidate. So here's what that means for us here in the U.S. This means that one of these dark money groups could go to any enemy of the United States. Now, I'm not going to name any names here, but any country, any company, any individual that doesn't like the United States or wants to manipulate the United States, and that foreign entity, again, whether it be country, corporate, or individual, that foreign entity, which is not here, restrained by the same laws that you and I are, if you're an American, because as here we supposedly we have these laws that we vote on, and a constitution and all that, right? But somebody who doesn't live here and has no direct interest in our particular lifestyles, or really just gives a flying fuck about us, to be honest with you, somebody who just has an agenda and a lot of money, that foreign entity is able to take as much money as they can get and then anonymously, because they don't have to disclose their donors, anonymously contribute that to a super PAC that can turn around and use that to support a candidate. Buy ads, by propaganda, who knows, I contribute to the campaign in all kinds of ways. So what you potentially end up with here is a very clear ability for foreign interests to basically establish a candidate in the United States that undermines the people of the United States. Does that sound like a good idea for any country to have a loophole like that? I mean, it kind of seems to me that the politics of a particular country should at least be kept within the boundaries of that country. I don't think that I should be allowed as a big American corporation to go over to your country. And, you know, if you're wherever you are out there in the world and buy up all these ads and give all this money to your politicians and try to manipulate them so that you'll buy more of my books or something like that. I mean, see, this is not right, folks. So no matter who you're for or against or what your opinions are in this political nightmare that we're in right now, just keep in mind, now that you know this, and again, don't take my word for it, look up dark money groups. Now that you know this, maybe when you're seeing these political ads and you're watching the way these anchors in the media are talking, because they make money off the ads, you see? It's like the anchors talk a certain way because they're promoting an ad. You're not going to put an ad on for, let's say, I don't want to name any names here, let's say Acme Car Company. You're not going to put on a commercial for Acme Car Company and then turn around and now the show comes on and you go, yeah, I have one of those Acmes, it's a piece of shit. Trust me, you know, it broke down on me yesterday. No, you're going to support your advertisers. So if your advertisers come from a foreign power, then your message is going to support your advertisers. And this may explain to you a lot of the homogenization that you are seeing in the media around especially political issues and election or oriented issues. So as you watch this stuff happening in the media, as we get especially closer to the election over the next 3 months, every time you hear a message, I want you to think about this and think, is this a message that sounds like it's coming from somebody who wants my life to be better, you know, my street and my town and my county and my state and my country? Is this somebody who wants my life and my country to be better? Or does this sound maybe like it's coming from somebody who doesn't give a shit about that and is just trying to push through another agenda? That's the first thing I want to tell you as you make some decisions about what you're going to do over the next few months here, 3 months here in this country. Here's the second thing, second piece of advice I'm going to give you. So if you want to know a little bit more about who is funding these things that I've been talking about, whether they be campaigns or advertisements, commercials of any kind, take a company. Let's just say, for example, a media company. Let's just say you take a particular network and you want to figure out, like, well, where, who is the money behind this ultimately? Like who is the ultimate owner of this? Take that network, type it into the internet, go to Google or wherever, and find out who the parent company is. And then click on the name of the parent company. And because sometimes the parent company has nothing to do with the name of the company on that you're dealing with. They have all these subsidiaries and stuff, right? Find the name of the parent company, and then go to a search engine. Could be Google or any other search engine, and type in this sentence: who owns the most stock in blank? Okay, and you fill in the blank with the name of that parent company, and often it will give you a list of the top stockholders in that company. And if you write down a big long list of influential companies, at least in your life, and you go and you find the parent company, and then you write down this question, who owns the most stock in blank, and you see the answer, you may see some patterns emerge. And if you follow the money and you look at the patterns, it may bring you closer to the truth of where some of these undisclosed funds are coming from and the connection between a lot of companies that otherwise seem disconnected. Try it out. Again, I'm not going to be more specific about some of the things that I found here. Like I say, I'd be dumb to do that. But I'm telling you how to do it. And it's better for you to do it on your own anyway, so you can see what I'm saying. But this is why you have to inform yourself. This is why you have to educate yourself. And this is why I say, look, if you do that, if you think clearly and logically and you value freedom and what's best for you, then you have nothing to worry about. Because 2020 is not here to punish you. It is here to make you stronger. And knowledge is power. So get knowledgeable and be skeptical and be cynical when you're looking at what's happening in the political arena and the cultural landscape. All right. That's as political as I'm going to get on you. It's going to be strange the next 3 months. I posted the other day on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren, when the going gets weird, the weird become professionals, right? When the going gets weird, the weird become professionals. And that's really a rip off of Hunter S. Thompson. Hunter S. Thompson was the one who said, and his actual quote was, "When the going gets weird, the weird go pro." I didn't feel I should write that, though, because that sounds a little too much like a GoPro camera commercial these days, doesn't it? When the going gets weird, the weird GoPro. And you see the guy with the GoPro camera doing his ghost hunt. I just gave them a great marketing idea for Halloween, didn't I? I will take my commission on that one, GoPro company. But no, seriously, I just posted, when the going gets weird, the weird become professional. And that is true. Because suddenly, when you're realizing that all the mainstream experts are scratching their heads and they don't know anything more than you do, I sometimes can tell that there are mainstream organizations that are looking at my research that really shouldn't be looking at my research unless I was onto something. People that shouldn't be interested in UFOs are all of a sudden really interested in UFOs. And I think a lot of these organizations out there, especially in the government, that you believe have all the answers and are hiding all this stuff, don't really know as much as you think they do. They're starting to be a little more honest about the fact that they don't know that much either, because that hasn't been their focal point. They've tried to brush this off and say, like, look, this shit is not relevant. Let's just focus on what we have to do today to make it through the day so we can go home and, you know, watch the ball game and have beer and, you know, eat a steak and get ready to get up and do this over tomorrow. I mean, that's kind of how a lot of these people live their lives, and you can't blame them. They're exhausted, and they don't have time to go running around chasing phantoms. I, on the other hand, have made a career out of that. So a lot of these people, these higher-up places, they don't know that much more than the average person does, but they're starting to take more of an interest because something's happening, something's changing. These strange experiences are becoming more prevalent. They're becoming more common, and so I'm getting more and more interest in the work that I'm doing. And this is the same situation with a lot of other people who are in my bizarro type of field. Someday, all this stuff that I'm doing that seems weird, it's going to seem like such old hat stuff. If I compare the work that I'm doing now to what I was doing 20 years ago, people thought I was insane. And now it's not that big of a deal. You know, you can take a wishing machine to the airport and the TSA says, oh yeah, that's a wishing machine. They know what it is. I know this because I have friends who are in management at TSA. So people are opening their minds. You know, there's been this concept that we are very gradually developing what they call a third eye, right there between your normal two eyes, right there on your forehead. And that maybe in a few thousand years, we'll literally have a third eye. It will finally morph and solidify and become a physical third eye one day. For now, it's just a very sensitive spot there on the forehead. And I got a really interesting email about that today. I love to experiment with wands. I used to make wands, batches of wands, different types. I don't make them anymore. I made my last wand about 2 years ago, and it's because they're just too time-consuming to make wands. They really are. You wouldn't think they would be, but if you make good ones, they are. It's hard to design it, to imagine it. You know, like, you do all these experiments just to imagine what might make a design, and then you might design something that doesn't work, and then you finally get a design that you work with, and it works out, and then you say, okay, now, it's one thing to make one of these. How do I make like 100 of these? You know, and then you got to go out and find all these weird materials, and that's hard to source stuff. And then you got to put it all together, and then you got to advertise it, and then you got to ship it out, and it's just a big pain. So I stopped making wands, but I found a little batch. The last wand that I made was called the Emerald Wand. And it has a raw, natural emerald on the end. What's funny is that I had a couple friends visit me here in Las Vegas just, a week or so ago. And I said, I have a gift for you because I had some raw emeralds and I gave them each a raw emerald. I said, next time you're in the casino, take this with you. Hold it in your hand when you hit the buttons on the slot machine. I got a text the next day. This is a married couple. The guy, his name is Jeff, he says, my wife just won $500. And then I just won $200. He said, we went to Vegas and we left home with way more money than we came to Vegas with. And he was real happy with his raw emerald that I gave him. And so you can imagine what happened when I turned that into a wand. And when I was clearing out my museum, you know, I just had to move my museum this year out of Asheville, North Carolina, and I've moved it here to Las Vegas, and I'll be setting it up in some form again down the road here when all this pandemic stuff is over with. But listen to this. There's a man in Oregon named Craig. He sent me this email, and he got one of these emerald wands, and he said that I could read this to you. Let's see. This literally just came in a couple hours ago. At least I read it a couple hours ago. So he got one of these emerald wands. Craig in Oregon. He said, I did a quick tuning. He says, I pointed it at my third eye for about 30 seconds. I couldn't take much more. And then I just started painting. And this is what came out. And he told me to send you this. Now, when he says he told me to send you this, I'm not sure if he's talking about the painting or what. But he says, this is worth the price of the wand. And he attached this fantastic painting. I saw it and I was like, I want that. I want that. I mean, you know how like sometimes you go into an art gallery or something and you see something, a painting that's just, it's just dazzling and amazing, and you just can't imagine how a person sat down and painted it, but you feel like, I wouldn't hang that on my wall, though. You know, it's like you admire it, and you're inspired by the fact that somebody could do that, but you go, I wouldn't hang that on my wall and look at it every day. This is a painting I would hang on my wall and look at it every day. And I wrote him back, and I said, man, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself? Because I know that he's been following my work for a while. And he said that he tries to work in both worlds. He does a lot of meditation. And he says, I started to visit with the Archangel Michael, and he brought others to help me paint. So I think he's talking about spirits here. And he said, they also have me charging the work with different wavelengths. And so I said, hey, Craig, this is really amazing. This is fantastic. May I please post this on my Twitter feed for others to see? And he said, yes. He says, yes, you're welcome to do that. So you got to see this. This guy takes an emerald wand, points it at his third eye for 30 seconds, and then paints this. Go to twitter.com and then just type in Joshua P. Warren. Joshua P. It's easy to find me. You don't need to sign up. If you're not into the Twitter thing, that's fine. You don't have to sign up or log in or any shit like that. Just go to twitter.com, do a search for Joshua P. Warren, and you'll see my page there at Joshua P. Warren. And all my tweets just come up like little links that you can click. Or if you go straight to my website, joshuapwarren.com, then you'll also see a little Twitter link there as well that you can click that's got updates from me. So, wow, thank you, Craig. I think I am going to take my little emerald one down to Pino's Palette. which is one of those places here in Las Vegas where you go in and you pay them like $30 and they give you a bottle of wine and some paint brushes and a canvas and say, have at it. I'm going to take my emerald wand down there and point at my third eye for 30 seconds and see what I can crank out. If it looks anything like yours, maybe we can, I don't know, we'll open up an exhibit, perhaps? Yeah, but thank you, Craig. Oh, now listen to this. I talked to Mobius yesterday. I have got, as I record this podcast right now, I have got 10 of those emerald wands left from that batch that we found in the museum. 10. 10. We don't have 11. We have 10, and that's it. And I am never, ever going to make this wand again. I don't even think I could make it because I don't have the very particular supplies. It was not easy, okay? I went to like wood carvers and worked out all these deals to have this certain thing made with a certain type of wood. I'm not bullshitting, okay? I know that I'll sell these last 10, and then somebody is going to beg me for an 11th one, and it's not going to be possible. I'm not going to make an 11th one. So if you want to have one of the last emerald wands that exists and will ever exist, and you have my word on that, you need to go to joshuapwarren.com. Click the link to the Curiosity Shop page. Scroll down that page, and you'll eventually see a little banner there that says the Emerald Wand. When you click that, there's a video where I talk about the wand, and then you'll find out the kick-ass free bonus that comes with it, the certificate that comes with it, all that stuff for these last 10 wands. And I know sometimes I record this podcast and I release it and people don't listen to it for 3 or 4 days. So by the time you've heard this podcast, they may be sold out. So here's how you know whether or not it's sold out. If you go there and you hit the button that says add to cart and it lets you buy it, then there's one available. Otherwise, it will say this item is out of stock or sold out or whatever. That's how you'll know until I have time to sit down and update the page. You'll just have to go there and hit the add to cart button, and if it lets you buy it, you better finish up that purchase real fast. So I swear to you, last chance, joshuapwarren.com, go to the Curiosity Shop, scroll down, click on Emerald Wand, and there you have it. Moving on, I have some TV updates to give you. You know, I mentioned Steve Barone, who has been filming all of these amazing UFOs around Las Vegas. Well, he is going to be on the Travel Channel here in the USA this Sunday night, showing some of his footage. He is going to be on a very popular program called Paranormal Caught on Camera. And so you might want to actually take out your whatever your note-taking apparatuses are, whatever, take out a pen, take out a piece of paper, take out your phone, whatever you do, and take some notes, because I'm going to give you some tips here on like dates and times for upcoming things you might want to see on TV. So Steve Barone is going to be on the Travel Channel, Paranormal Caught on Camera, that airs this Sunday night, August 16th, 2020, at 9 p.m. local time. So my understanding is no matter what time zone you're in, it'll air, the one with him in it will air at 9 p.m. your time. But that's probably only in the USA. Okay, I'm not sure about that. So this Sunday, August 16th, 9 p.m., Travel Channel, you'll see Steve Barone on Paranormal Caught on Camera. Now, if you want to see me, if you want to see me on the Travel Channel, I will be on the Travel Channel the next night. That is because the next night, which is Monday, August the 17th of 2020, I will be on the new episode of Into the Unknown. Into the Unknown with Cliff Simon, and it's all about the Brown Mountain Lights. And you will see me investigating throughout that show, as well as the great Dean Worsing, Forrest Connor, Christian McLeod, and other really wonderful investigators. So write that down. That's going to be on Monday, August 17th, 2020, and that'll be at 11 p.m. local time here in the USA on the Travel Channel. I'll repeat that. Into the Unknown, Brown Mountain Lights, this coming Monday, August 17th, 2020, 11 p.m. local time for you in the USA on the Travel Channel. Be sure to check that out. And by the way, this already aired in certain parts of Europe. So some of you have already seen this in Europe, but this is the first time it's going to be airing here in the USA. And then this is something for everybody, all of you living around the world. A lot of you have a subscription to the Gaia TV network, which is a streaming network. I know you can watch it online, but I also watch it on my Roku. And so if you have something like that hooked to your TV, you can watch it through those devices. The Gaia TV network has always got really interesting, thought-provoking, just strange stuff, it's just like new agey kind of stuff that you're not going to find anywhere else. It's a whole network devoted to that. And George Norrie, of course, for years now, probably like 8 years, 9 years, has had this show on Gaia called Beyond Belief. And of course, George is the host of Coast to Coast AM. He's been a great friend for many years. Lets me come on the coast and talk about whatever the heck I want to. And boy, that's something else when you're talking on to the largest, syndicated audience there in the country there at nighttime. Hundreds and hundreds of stations. But most people would settle for that. No, George does the hosting for the radio show, and then he goes and he hosts this TV show, Beyond Belief. And they're telling me right now that my new Beyond Belief episode with George Norrie is currently scheduled to hit Gaia TV on September the 16th. And let's see, what day of the week is that? I always kind of like to know the day of the week. Looks like that's a Wednesday. All right, so Wednesday, September 16th, if the schedule holds true, then that is when you can see me on the new Beyond Belief with George Norrie. So hope you have all that stuff down pat, and I'll try to post some of it as well for you on my Twitter page. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren. I really want to thank Lex Lonehood, the webmaster there for Coast to Coast AM. He's been great. He recently sent out a tweet and did a Facebook posting and an article on the Coast to Coast AM page about the strange story of Art Bell's alien statue that they say comes to life at night. And you should really go, if you haven't, to artbellalien.com, artbellalien.com, and just read that story. It's just crazy, the odyssey, as Lex put it, that statue has been on. And I am also planning over the next few days to shoot a new video for you regarding some new experiments with psychotronic principles. And as usual, I have a lot going on here, so I'm not sure how soon I'm going to be able to get this done, but it's a really cool effect that you can get from certain types of shapes that might be incorporated into psychotronics. I'm going to demonstrate that for you on camera, and that'll be something I just upload to YouTube. So if you mess around on YouTube, look up the Joshua P. Warren YouTube channel, and you can subscribe to that as well. So anyway, a lot of good stuff is going on. Here is the last thing I want to leave you with. As you know, my Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours in Asheville, North Carolina, have had the honor of being nominated by USA Today as one of the top 20 ghost tours in the country. And being nominated means, well, you can go and vote for it. And by voting, that means you go to the page, there's a blue button that says vote, and you click it, and that's it. Don't have to sign up, nothing like that. You just click it, and it says thank you for voting. And you can do that once every 24 hours on any device, any different browser. Check out your different ways of doing that on your browsers and devices. Do that as many times as you want till August 24th. And at that time, the voting will end and we'll see who the winner is. And right now, my Haunted Asheville ghost tours are ranking number 1 out of 20. And I want to keep it that way. So guess what? I am trusting you. I'm relying on you. You listen to this podcast for free. I'm always giving you all kinds of interesting information and tips and whatever I can give you for free. So do me a solid, do me a favor. I want you to go there every single day between now and August 24th. It doesn't cost you a penny. It's very simple. Just go to votehauntedasheville.com. The word Asheville has an E in the middle, so it's Asheville. Go to votehauntedasheville.com and click that vote button. And I set up a wishing machine here so that every single time you do that, something lucky and fortunate is going to happen in your life. So I'm not saying once a day something good's going to happen. You might have 10 different things that happen to you in one day. But I've set up the machine so that this is a good time for you to build up some good karma points here. So go to votehauntedasheville.com, votehauntedasheville.com. It brings up that blue button, takes you 2 seconds, go click, and that's it, and you're done. Do that every day, please, and together we will win this thing. And if Haunted Asheville wins, and I believe it will, I'm going to think up of something really fun and cool to do for all of you with this podcast. Trust me. So votehauntedasheville.com. Well, look, as you can tell, there's a lot going on. I'm sorry I haven't been able to leave a podcast for you sooner, but I think you can see why. And I'll do my best to make sure that next time I don't wait so long. But it's important, you know, if you like this podcast, tell everybody about it, share it with them, tweet it, you know, retweet stuff. I mean, let everybody know. That's the how, you know, I don't do this to talk to myself. I do this for you. So the more people who listen, the merrier. I want you to go to joshuapwarren.com. While you're there, yeah, see all kinds of amazing stuff, pictures, video clips. Go to the curiosity shop. You don't have to buy anything. Just look at everything. You might get some ideas. You might get some inspiration. But while you're there at joshuapwarren.com, be sure to sign up for my free e-newsletter because I'm about to send out some really interesting newsletters here over the next week or so. So put your email address in there, hit the submit button, boom, that takes you 2 seconds. If you've never done that, you'll get an instant digital good luck charm from me. It'll get sent to you as soon as you do that, all right? So joshuapwarren.com, there's no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. All right, my friends, while you're there, I guess, hey, if you like this podcast, you better click the link to this podcast right there on the homepage. Upper right-hand corner, it says Joshua P. Warren Daily, or maybe you'll just see in the menu somewhere where it says podcast. You click that button, you'll see hundreds of these podcasts going back for years, all free. You can listen forever. And when you get there, if you want to make sure that you're notified when a new one comes out, well, you can subscribe through all kinds of different platforms and means, whether it's through, you know, Apple or Stitcher, you know, your iTunes stuff, iHeart, whatever your favorite platform is, you can subscribe or just follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren, and I usually tweet when a new one is available. So that is it for today. There is much more kick-ass stuff to come. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon.